Go ahead and turn, if you would, to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, and if you would stand as we read God's word this morning. Matthew 7, beginning in verse 1. Judge not that you be not judged. For with the judgment you pronounce, you will be judged, and with the measure you use it, will be measured to you. Why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when there is the log in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. Do not give dogs what is holy, and do not throw your pearls before pigs, lest they trample them underfoot and turn to attack you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for another day of mercy. We thank you that even now as we breathe in air, we breathe in mercy. That you are sustaining us and giving us life. And by your grace, you have given us your word and your spirit that you might, that we might know you. So we pray that you would take your word, you would take our hearts, and by the power of your spirit, would you unite them, that we would be conformed more to the image of Christ today. Father, wherever we are this morning, whether we don't know you or whether we've walked with you for many years, God, we pray that you would meet us there, that you would show us what it is that we need to see from your word. God, we're so prone to self-righteousness, and we pray that you would show it to us. You would give us more of Christ that we might be a people who love. We pray all this in the name of the living Lord Jesus. And all of God's people said, amen. You may be seated. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus has been teaching and giving an interpretation of God's law that was much different than what the people were used to hearing from the religious leaders of the day. The scribes and the Pharisees, they were the ultra conservatives when it came to God's word, and they had a very high view of God's word, so they developed this list of rules, list of laws around God's law, God's word. But it backfired on them, and it created in them a self-righteousness where they thought highly of themselves and lowly of everybody else. They had a critical spirit toward others. They were fault finders and finger pointers, and they would look down their nose at other people. They judged other people in a definitive way in some cases. And Jesus said, no, we need to talk about that. I'm going to help us work through these six verses. There's a few questions that I want to answer this morning. Number one, and this will be the outline for us. Number one, should we judge others? Should we judge others? We see that in verse 1. Then in verses 3 through 5, the second question we'll ask and answer is, who should we judge first? Who should we judge first? And then finally, in verse 6, when should we stop sharing with others? When should we stop sharing with others? So first question, should we judge others? Verse 1, again, judge not that you be not judged. So Jesus says, don't judge. The word for judge is a legal word that means evaluate, to discern, to make a decision about something, whether it's good or bad, right or wrong. So when Jesus says, judge not, we've got to ask the question, does Jesus mean that Christians, us, those who are followers of Jesus, does he mean that we should never judge anyone for anything? I mean, that is really the common interpretation today. You know, whether you're a believer in Jesus or not, you know this verse. I mean, everybody knows that somewhere in Scripture, Jesus said, you shouldn't judge. And so the common interpretation today is that we shouldn't judge. No matter what it is, we ought to be tolerant of the way everybody lives. We ought to be tolerant of whatever it is. Just go on, live and let live. Tolerance and peace is what should be supreme. Well, that interpretation is not what Jesus intended when he said, judge not. Well, how do we know that? Well, most verses in the Bible can be understood when you read the verses around the verse. It's called context. And so it's important that we understand the context in which Jesus said, judge not. I mean, the context in verses 3 through 5, Jesus tells us to judge ourselves by taking the log out of our own eye so that we in turn can then judge others. If you go down to verse 6, he tells us that we need to be discerning or judgmental when it's time to stop sharing with other people. If you continue down in chapter 7 a little further, in verses 15 and 16, he warns us to be discerning about false teachers, that we need to listen carefully and be discerning and judge whether or not someone is speaking truth or not. And so several times, just in this chapter alone, Jesus is speaking about how we should be a discerning, or another term for that, judgmental people. Now, I'll elaborate on that in just a minute. I mean, we could go even further into Matthew's gospel, Matthew chapter 18, where Jesus is talking about how we ought to live together as the church, where he begins to lay that out, what it looks like to be a judgmental people, a discerning people. In Matthew chapter 18, verse 15 and following, there's several verses. And everything he says there is wrapped up in this idea of what it means to be judgmental and the proper way to go about it. So when Jesus says, judge not, he doesn't mean don't judge anything. That's not what Jesus means. He calls us to be a discerning people who are able to judge between right and wrong. I mean, we need to be able to read books and listen to music and watch movies and TV and interact, hear sermons for that matter, and be able to discern what's good and bad, right and wrong. I mean, that's what we're called, to sift through the things that we interact with every single day. And we have to be a discerning people. I mean, I fully intend, I hope that as you sit here and you hear me say all sorts of things from this text this morning, that you will go home and you will search and see whether or not what I have said is true. I expect you to do that. That means that you're being discerning, that you're judging whether or not what I say is accurate or not. So we need to be that kind of people. When Jesus says, judge not, he has in mind this critical, arrogant, condemning attitude that characterized especially Israel's religious leaders of the day. Now, as I mentioned earlier, they were the ultra-conservative religious people, the scribes and the Pharisees. They were the scholars when it came to the Scriptures. They had memorized most, if not all, of the Old Testament. So they knew it. The problem, though, with all of that knowledge, it puffed them up, made them prideful people. The posture of their heart was that they were always looking for the wrong in other people. Were they eating in the proper context? Were they eating the right thing on the right day? And if they weren't, you know, maybe you didn't wash your hands the right way. They were the morality police of the day. And they were always looking to see where somebody had done something wrong and wanted to point out people's faults and come in as the judge. That's the kind of self-righteous, arrogant, critical heart that Jesus is talking about in this command, judge not. And I think it's a good warning for us today, because if we're honest, we're all tempted to have a critical spirit, to be critical towards other people. That is a self-righteous, I mean, that self-righteousness, that pride, that is in my heart. And I have to fight that every single day. And if we're honest, we all do. We are prone to do that. We judge whatever it might be, how people look, what people wear, how they talk, where they hang out, what they eat, what they don't eat. We are prone to be a judgmental, critical people. It's just, that's who we are. And Jesus warns us not to have this critical, condemning attitude toward others. Why? Because when we do that, we're placing ourselves in the position that only God deserves. We place ourselves in the ultimate position as judge. James chapter 4, verse 12, there is only one lawgiver and judge, he who is able to save and to destroy. But who are you to judge your neighbor? Only God has the right to be the ultimate final judge. 1 Corinthians 4, 5, therefore do not pronounce judgment before the time, before the Lord comes, who will bring to the light the thing. Then each one will receive his commendation from God. It's true that we can hear people's words and we can see people's actions and we can make some sort of judgment that may be true, may be accurate, may be fair, but ultimately, only God knows the heart. Only God knows our motives. Only God can be the ultimate judge of people. And what about the second part of what he says there? Judge not, that you be not judged. What does he mean there? Well, the ministry of Jesus centers around one particular thing, and that is to prepare people to stand before the Lord. That's what Jesus came for. And he says that if we want to avoid judgment, then we ought not be judgmental of others. We ought not be critical toward others, condemning toward others. So if you're here this morning, and you know yourself not to be a Christian, you know you're not a follower of Jesus, please hear this. Every single human being, every person that sits in this room this morning, every single one of us will stand before God as judge. We all will. And he knows the thoughts, the intentions. He knows the motivations of our heart. He knows it all. And we will all stand before him. The problem is, if we stand before him without having our sins forgiven, without having trusted in Jesus and what he accomplished for us, if we do that, if we stand before him, we will be condemned forever by the righteous judge of all the earth. But the good news is, that's why Jesus came. He came, and Jesus, he lived a perfect life. He lived the life that we could not live. And he went to a cross and died on our behalf. He made a payment that we could not make for ourselves. He went as the perfect sacrifice to die in my place and your place. He died, was buried 3 days later. He came out of the grave victorious over sin, death, and Satan. And Jesus now says, turn to me. Turn from your sins and trust me. And when you do that, you can stand before God Almighty on that eternity with him forever. But if you haven't trusted Jesus, then you will face condemnation. But the good news is that we have that offer from Jesus. We have that, what Jesus has done for us. Now, for those of us who are Christians, us being Christians does not exempt us from this. We say, I'm a Christian, so I don't have to stand before God one day. I've already trusted Him. I'm going to heaven, and I don't have to worry about this judgment. Well, yes and no. Because while it's true that if we're in Christ, if we're Christians, our eternal destiny is settled, it is also true that another judgment still awaits us. It's not a judgment for our sins. Christ has paid for our sins in full. It's not a judgment that will determine our ultimate destiny. Christ has settled that. But there is a judgment that we will have as His children for how we lived as His children. So don't think that you're exempt. I can't think that I'm exempt simply because I'm saved. I will stand before Him one day and answer for the way I lived as His child. That's very clear in Scripture. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10, written to believers, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil. And in the same line of thinking, Paul writes about it in Romans chapter 14, verse 10. Why do you pass judgment on your brother, Paul says? Or you, why do you despise your brother? For we will all stand before the judgment seat of God. These are verses that are written to Christians. We will stand. And we will answer for every deed we do. Yes, your sins are paid for. Praise God for that. This, please hear this. This is not about heaven and hell. If you're a Christian, you have trusted Jesus to forgive you, you are in Christ, this is not about your eternal destiny. You are secure in Him. But you will stand before Him one day and answer for the way you lived your life. It ought to humble us. It ought to be a good reminder. We ought to be careful for how we live every single day of our lives, that we need the grace of God today just as much now, just as much today as we did the day when we met Him for the first time. So, if we find ourselves in an unforgiving, unmerciful, judgmental spirit, what that screams at us is there is something wrong with us. So I'm a Christian. There's nothing wrong with me. But if you have that sort of attitude, it is. There is something that's amiss. Because if you have experienced the grace of Jesus, you have encountered His, experienced His forgiveness, you have received His mercy, you have known the patience of God, and you know that judgment, ultimate judgment, has been taken, that kind of heart, if we've experienced that, we will show grace and compassion and love. What would happen if God were as severe with us as we are with some people? What would happen if He used the same standards we used? You know, thinking about questions like that should humble us and lead us to consider our own standing before the Lord. And that's exactly where Jesus goes in verses 3 through 5. Where He says, why do you see the speck that's in your brother's eye, but you don't notice the log that's in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when there's a log in your own eye? You hypocrite. First take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. So where does judgment begin? Jesus uses this illustration of two brothers, and One brother looks over at the other and he sees this speck, this splinter in his brother's eye, and he says, "Let me help you out with that." And the brother turns around and there's this log, this 2x4 sticking out of his brother's face. And Jesus says, "You know, do you not even see that you have something that you need to deal with?" So where does judgment begin? It begins with us, by looking in the mirror. And then we can help others. Jesus says, deal with the problem that you have. Deal with your faults, and then you can help somebody else. And then he follows it up in verse 5 and says, "You're such a hypocrite." Now, that charge of hypocrite, most naturally, you would think by hearing that, well, Jesus, he's been railing on the Pharisees. So obviously, Jesus, he's talking about hypocrites here. He must be talking about the Pharisees. Well, no. Yes, no. Of course, yes, they're hypocrites. But Jesus, we have to remember, is speaking to his disciples. The Pharisees are overhearing what Jesus is saying, but Jesus is addressing his disciples here. So when Jesus says this, he means this for his followers, for his disciples. You know, we look at certain sins and we think, "Well, I'd never do that. I'd never commit adultery. I would never steal money. I would never drink and drive. I would never never hurt my child or anybody's child. I would never hit my spouse. I would never do those things. I would never abandon my kids. I would never," whatever it is that you think that you would never do, yes, we ought to resolve not to be about those things. We ought to say, "Yes, I don't want to ever do those things." But the posture of our heart, when we come to that point, we'll say, "I'm not like them. I would never do that." That is a self-righteous pride that we need to get rid of. I would never. We need to pause and think about a much bigger question when we begin to feel that way. Why do I even believe in God? It is nothing but the grace of God that makes us even believe one little bit. It is all of his grace that we are Christians. It is not because I resolve not to ever do those things that those other people would do. It is only because it is an absolute miracle that any of us believe. A miracle. A miracle of God's grace. See, the self-righteous person forgets that. The self-righteous person says, "No way. Of course I believe. I mean, how on earth could somebody not believe there's a God?" We are a people of grace. And when that self-righteousness rises up in us, and it rises up in every single one of us, we have to remember that it is only by his grace that we can be called his. Being a Christian is rooted in humility, and that's why the gospel must be the very air we breathe as Christians. This constant awareness that we need him. So where should judgment begin? It begins right here, at home, with ourselves. We humbly come before the Lord and before others, and we take that plank, that 2x4, out of our own eye, so we're able to help others do the same thing with their lives. But what do we do, Jason, when we've done that? We've taken that plank out of our own eye, and we want to go help this other person that we see clearly needs our help and clearly need the gospel, clearly needs hear about Jesus? What do we do when they are just absolutely opposed to what we're saying? What do we do when opposition comes? How long should we just keep telling them about Jesus? Well, verse 6 answers that question. Do not give dogs what is holy, and do not throw your pearls before pigs, lest they trample them underfoot and turn to attack you. We've got to understand, yesterday I had, Marcy and I had deacons and their wives over, and at the end of the day, some of them had already left, and I pulled out our dogs, and we're not talking about, man's best friend dog here. We're talking about scavenger dogs. Animals that are just mean, running around, just violent, unclean animals. That's what he's referring to, pigs. Pigs were the most unclean animal that these people would think about. And oftentimes, these dogs and these pigs were very aggressive. And Jesus' point is that we need to be mindful as we live as Christians among non-Christians that there will be some people who do not want to hear about Jesus. They don't want to hear the truth. They just don't. No matter how much you've been sure that you've taken that plank out of your own eye, no matter how well you have tried to develop this relationship, this friendship, some people just don't want to hear about Jesus. We've probably all encountered people, situations like that, where we're trying to have a conversation about the gospel and about Jesus, and it just becomes very unfruitful. Jesus says there comes a time where we just have to cut it off. We just have to stop. As he says, don't throw pearls. The gospel message. Don't throw it out there anymore. Lest they trample it underfoot and turn to attack you. It's difficult when you remember when you had to start wrestling with your own sin. When people start hearing about Jesus and are under the conviction of the Holy Spirit, they don't want to face that reality. And so what do we do? What do we do when we get to that point? I don't know. We need God's wisdom. We need to have God's discerning mind. Listen to what Proverbs 26 Proverbs 26, verses 4 and 5 says, answer not a fool according to his folly, lest you be like him yourself. You say, okay. Well, the next verse, answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own eyes. Well, those two verses sound like they contradict each other. But what the writer of the Proverbs is saying is that we need to be discerning in every situation. Sometimes it's right to just shut up. Sometimes it's right to keep pressing in and pressing on and sharing the good news. What's the difference? We've got to be wise. We have to be discerning. And we've got to have the mind of Christ when situations like this come up. I mean, sometimes we're just like, I don't care. I'm going to share Jesus with you. I don't care what you say. And we just keep on and on, and we're just, it's not fruitful. Sometimes we just have to leave it with the Lord and say, Lord, I've done all I can do. If you want me to continue with this, you're going to have to make it very clear that I need to continue with this. Sometimes, as Paul says, sometimes we're the ones who plant the seed. And then somebody else comes along and gets to water that seed. And then somebody else gets to come along and see the fruit that has grown up from that seed that we originally planted. So we have to trust in God's providence, his wisdom, and we have to be a discerning people. Our responsibility is to make sure that we're guarding our hearts. We're to be a people who are always looking not to be finding fault with other people, but loving people, showing mercy to people because we have been shown mercy. To be compassionate towards people, not looking down our nose at other people because they're different from us. We've been given the greatest message in all of creation, and it is the gospel message that goes out to all people everywhere without distinction. Who are we to say they're different from me? Somebody else can go do that. No, God has placed them in your neighborhood, in your family, for you to share the good news with them. And until God says, no, it's time that you stop doing that, you are given the responsibility to do that. So do it. Be obedient. But we have to be discerning and ask God to prepare the way, make a way, guard our path. May God give us wisdom and lots of grace. Let's pray. Father, we're in need of mercy, in need of grace. We thank you that there is grace.